Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and once again, welcome to Food for the Journey. Yesterday was a tremendous feast, and I want to carry that over to today, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And it was also yesterday was the beginning of the Year of Mercy, put under the patronage protection of our Blessed Mother. Brothers and sisters, God has much in store for you in this year, much in the way of grace. But first of all, I want to share with you, because I just didn't have enough time yesterday, I want to share with you what Pope Emeritus Benedict said about the Immaculate Conception. And listen to this carefully, because it applies to you. What does Mary being immaculate mean? What does this title tell us? After the original sin, that's when Adam and Eve turned away. After the original sin, God addresses the serpent, which represents Satan, curses it, and adds a promise. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. It is the announcement of revenge. At the dawn of the creation, Satan seems to have the upper hand, but the son of a woman is to crush his head. Thus, through the offspring of a woman, God himself will triumph. Goodness will triumph. That woman is the Virgin Mary, of whom was born Jesus Christ, who with his sacrifice defeated the ancient tempter once and for all. This is why in so many paintings and statues of the Virgin Immaculate, she is portrayed in the act of crushing a serpent with her foot. Luke the Evangelist, on the other hand, shows the Virgin Mary receiving the Annunciation of the Heavenly Messenger. She appears as the humble, authentic daughter of Israel, the true Zion, in which God wishes to take up his abode. She is the shoot from which the Messiah, the just and merciful King, is to spring. In the simplicity of the house of Nazareth dwells the pure remnant of Israel, Mary, from which God wants his people to be reborn, like a new tree that will spread its branches throughout the world, offering to all humanity the good fruit of salvation. Unlike Adam and Eve, Mary stays obedient to the Lord's will. And I said to you yesterday, keep asking the Blessed Mother to pray for you, that you might say your own yes. Pope Emeritus Benedict says, Mary stays obedient to the Lord's will. With her whole being, she speaks her yes and makes herself entirely available to the divine plan. She is the new Eve, the true mother of all the living, namely those who, because of their faith in Christ, receive eternal life. That's you and me. In our faith in Christ, we will receive eternal life, and it is Mary's yes. It is the obedience of the Son of God, sent by the Father, to live on this earth, to suffer, and to die. Out of obedience came our salvation, the obedience of Mary, the obedience of Jesus, as he grew, and as he gave his life for us. That's why I want to say to you that your own obedience to God every day, in the little ways and in the big ones, makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. You enter more and more deeply into the true family of God. From all over the world, the true family of God. Those who say yes to Jesus. Those who follow him. Those who obey him. Those who repent when they fail. And here we are, the beginning of this year of mercy. God will forgive your sin when you truly repent. That's what his death on the cross won for us in part. It won for us the possibility of eternal life if we choose to say yes. Today we look at the readings from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 to 31. To whom can you liken me as an equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. He leads out their army and numbers them, calling them all by name. By his great might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why, O Jacob, do you say and declare, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my right is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Why are you saying God doesn't care about me? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the eternal God, creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary, and his knowledge is beyond scrutiny. He gives strength to the fainting. For the weak he makes vigor abound. Though young men faint and grow weary, and youths stagger and fall, they that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar as with eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. That's what God wants to do for us. But it requires our yes to his plan and his way. Please give up that self-protective independence. Please. Because when you come before the Lord, when you submit to the Lord and to his way and to his law, you will be set free. It's always the paradox. What we think will bind us actually frees us. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems you from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. We deserve damnation by our sins, but the psalm tells us, Psalm 3, not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. He forgives us. He has mercy. He restores. He renews. God doesn't have to do that, but he does it. And how easy it is for us to take it for granted. Don't. Be grateful. Thank him every day for the forgiveness of sin. Run to him when you've sinned. Don't hide it. Don't excuse it. Run to him. Repent. Open your heart. Because he will always take you back to those who sincerely repent. Always. His mercy endures forever. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus said to the crowds, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." We're laboring, aren't we, to live the Christian life. We're burdened down. Sometimes it's the weight of our own sin, and sometimes it's the weight of the sin of others. But God's desire is to set us free. God just really wants to bless us. He wants to free us. And so often we say, "No, I don't want anything to do with God." Or, "I'll go to church on Sunday, but that's all. I don't want to do anything more. That's just over the top." When in reality, it's what sets you free. That's too much. Just too much. No, it isn't. It actually will show you how starving you are and the banquet God has to feed you. When we admit our real condition, life becomes very good. We think, if I admit it, then I'm going to have to face all my sin. Yes, you'll face all your sin, but it will set you free. But the enemy wants to lie to you. He wants to hide it, excuse it, blame it on someone else, mitigate it, whatever. But don't take responsibility, because taking responsibility for your sin and asking pardon means that the whole very life of God, the infinite riches of the life of God, dwells in you again. And the enemy does not want it. So he says, "Don't say anything. Sneak around, lie if you have to. Don't say anything." What he's trying to do is keep you in bondage. Don't let him. Please don't let him. Jesus said to the crowds, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened." You may be burdened with sin. You may be burdened with some darkness. You may be burdened with fear or anger, hatred, bitterness. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus means that. It's a rest beyond anything you can imagine. And, you know, people say, well, then why doesn't God prove it to me? God's asking you to trust him. He's asking you to believe him and to take the step out in faith to put your trust in him. That's what he's after. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. When you kneel before the crib this Christmas, or some families set up the crib in Advent and leave the manger empty, but they set up many of the figures as though it looks like they're waiting for the coming of the Messiah, just as we are. If you've put up your crib, just kneel down before it at night and look. The manger is empty. Christ has not come yet. In a certain way, you could take that as an image of your own soul. You've emptied yourself of sin, but you're waiting. You're waiting for the Messiah to come to you. Long for him. Seek to follow him. Seek to say yes every day to him. Hunger for him. Thirst for him. And he will come again into your soul this Christmas. Remember, Christmas is not the celebration of an anniversary of something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's a present reality. Eternal things are present realities. They're not bound by time. Yes, he actually came in the flesh at a certain day at a certain time, but he is in flesh to you every time you open your heart to him. Please open your heart to the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of God. We're weary. Many of us are weary. We're tired. Sometimes we're lost. Sometimes we feel like there's a long way from arriving. We're bone weary of all the trying and the striving. And Christ becomes the one step we can never take. He comes to us like he came to Jacob. He comes to us not in spite of our failings, but precisely because of them. This is written by Ann Voskamp, a writer. Her marvelous, marvelous book entitled 1,000 Gifts. Again, I recommend it to you. But that's what Ann says. He comes to us like he comes to Jacob. He comes to us not in spite of our failings, but precisely because of our failings. Ours is the God who is drawn to those who feel down. Ours is the God who is attracted to those who feel abandoned. Ours is the God who is bound to those who feel broken. Everywhere, stairways for the sinners. Everywhere, ladders for the lost. Everywhere, gateways to God. This is grace. This is grace. Slow down. Pay attention. Why profane his coming with fleshly performances, frantic pushing, futile preoccupations? Gotta get this gift, gotta get this meal, gotta. And we miss the very reason why God has come. Open your hearts, brothers and sisters, to all that God has for you. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.